Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Quarter here on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. And Mike, we got to talk about an NFL coach that didn't make it to the fourth quarter, that being Urban Meyer. The Jacksonville Jaguars relieved him of his duties as head coach early this morning. And I guess it doesn't come as a surprise that things didn't work out for Urban Meyer down in Jacksonville, just because successful college coaches that transition to winning NFL coaches is the exception and not the rule. But I think a lot of people are surprised that things went left as quickly as they did down in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I guess we were wondering what it's going to take, Chris. Like, I've stopped trying to act shocked when NFL teams act selfishly in the name of winning here, and maybe that's the obvious place to start, right? This experiment was all predicated on the idea with Urban Meyer that, despite the misgivings a lot of us had with his personality, his track record in college, and the way that he's carried himself off the field, people figured, all right, well, this guy had been in multiple head coaching stops in college football, had a ton of success that looked different at each of those stops in college football, and that the time away he had had in TV, maybe he'd be able to adjust because he's got that acumen there. But Chris, we saw very clearly this is someone who lacks accountability and who lacked an understanding in any way, shape, or form of where his feet currently were in an environment in the NFL where you can't talk down and bully people, or eventually that'll come back to bite you because these are grown-ass men you're dealing with.
Yeah, and you know his tenure as head coach got off to the wrong start when he tried to add former Iowa strength coach Chris Doyle to the mix. And remember, Iowa strength coach Chris Doyle was the one that used racially insensitive language toward the players that he was coaching, and that's what led to him being ousted from that program. So to have that guy on your staff sends the wrong message to a locker room that's predominantly black players. And so it just didn't necessarily feel like it was going to get off to the best of starts, being viewed as a true partnership between coach and players in order to work together to get that program turned around. And then, of course, your credibility is always going to be challenged when you go out there and you assign Tim Tebow to your active roster, knowing that this guy is going through a position change. He's never played tight end at a high level, whether it's college or pro, and now you're going to add him to your offseason roster to take up a spot that could go to a developmental player. And then on top of that, you have some of the missteps that we've seen throughout the course of training camp in the regular season, whether you want to talk about the contact at practices at OTAs, or you want to talk about the fake quarterback competition between Gardner Minshew and Trevor Lawrence. It was talking about transitioning Travis Etienne, first-round running back out of Clemson, to play receiver. I mean, you name it. There are several missteps that Urban Meyer had that led to this ultimately being the decision that Shad Khan had to come to. And I think it's in the best interest of the program. And so now Jacksonville can be about the business of finding a head coach that can develop the rest of the players in that locker room. And Trevor Lawrence is at the middle of that.
And this was always interesting to me, the perspective of former coaches. You and I played the game and saw a lot of these missteps and the way we perceived them as players. Jim Mora, the new UConn head football coach, joined Keyshawn, Jabil, and Max this morning and talked about why he believed Urban failed in the NFL.
It does not surprise me. If you've been a college coach and you're operating in this environment where you have to kind of nurture guys, you could be probably a little bit more stern and more demanding at this level. But when you get to that level and you're dealing with men, and they want to be talked to a certain way because they're men, if you don't understand that, you're destined to fail. And I think what happened there, in my opinion, is Urban probably thought a whole lot of himself and probably didn't give guys the respect that they deserve when they're playing professional football. But it doesn't surprise me a lick that he failed in the NFL. He could probably go back to college and have great success again. I'm sure he can, without a doubt, but I just don't know that his personality was cut out for the pros.
Kane Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, and I'd buy the thinking a lot of himself. I mean, hell, the guy was somehow allowed to teach a class on leadership at Ohio State in the midst of
Dear
all this.
God.
Yeah, despite us knowing better during his tenure in college. But Chris, that part doesn't surprise me, the idea that he would think so overwhelmingly in his bones that he was right about all this stuff. The surprise to me was that he panicked. Like, he very clearly, in the face of losing at a rate he had never lost in his career, panicked and flailed around. We saw him look miserable on the sideline. We saw him throw coaches under the bus, stay behind in Columbus, and end up getting that lap dance at the bar instead of going back to work at the office. This man had no idea how to handle adversity when it came his way this season. And if you want to talk about the hallmark near the top of the list on what a leader looks like and what actually comprises leadership, it's being able to be the steady hand and being able to be that calming force in the midst of turbulence when things aren't going perfectly around you. And he failed that one overwhelmingly.
It's also respect and accountability, Gojo. That's the other part that comes along with leadership. And as somebody that was handed the keys to the franchise in the way that Urban got from Shad Khan, you would think he would have more respect for the profession. I mean, Lewis Riddick just went off on our show half an hour ago about how cavalier Urban was when it came to trying to get this thing fixed and just feeling like he could free-wield his power over all of the people that were within the organization and not necessarily include them as equal partners in trying to get things fixed. That's the part that surprises me the most, man. Respect is a two-way street, and players aren't going to believe what you have to say, or they're not going to believe in your path to victory until you show them the due respect that they deserve. Because, listen, man, to wear that shield, to be an NFL player, it's hard to get to this level. And so to completely dismiss anything that the players had to say, to not be able to have open lines of communication, to try to belittle the assistants on the staff that you actually put together, that just shows, you know, a callous way of being able to try to go about your business. And so when you don't have everybody within the organization pulling the rope in the same direction, you get these types of results. And so I think for the Jacksonville Jaguars, they've got to make a statement with their next hire about what this franchise is actually going to be about, because their reputation in NFL circles is not the best. It wasn't great when Tom Coughlin was at the top of it as an executive, because you heard grumblings and grievances filed with the NFLPA from Jaguars players then, and now with the situation with Urban Meyer, how he treated Josh Lambeau, how he's treated James Robinson, how he's treated Marvin Jones. The list goes on and on, how he's treated his assistant coaches. Jacksonville has got to make a decision about what kind of franchise they want to be, because it's going to start getting to the point where players are going to say, you know what, I'm good on the Jacksonville Jaguars money. I know how that organization gets down. And that's the last place you want to be when you're trying to put a supporting cast in place to develop a future franchise quarterback.
Yeah, we already saw the comments from Shaquille Griffin on that roster, who said he feels like the next Jags head coach needs to be someone who, quote, actually believes in what the players are saying. Like, think about that again, and this is what's supposed to be a partnership at this level between players and coach. That is already the thing that post-mortem is coming out of that locker room. That's embarrassing for that franchise. For Shad Khan, I thought Mina Keim said this really well on Around the Horn. Urban Meyer didn't get fired because he was bullying folks and the organization was made aware of that. You brought this up. They got this reported, the Josh Lambeau kicking fiasco that really looked like the straw that broke the camel's back. That was reported to the organization a month ago.
Yeah.
Urban Meyer got fired because people kept finding out about all this stuff, because the organization had to get embarrassed to this level in order to act. And you're right. That stench reeks all the way to the top.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Gojo. You have all of these young players in this locker room that have to answer for the behavior of the coach. Usually it's the other way around. Unfortunately, when you start talking about young 20-somethings that come into money and the fame, like, they're the ones that are making the missteps. You don't expect a coach that's in his 50s to be doing the things that Urban Meyer is doing, and then the owner have to come out with a statement and the rookie quarterback having to answer for it and trying to be able to hold the team together so they can go about their business and put themselves in a position where they can compete on a week-in, week-out basis. Like, you usually hear about players being a distraction or being a divisive force or being something that's polarizing. You don't hear about this about the head coach. This is absolutely ridiculous. So anybody that has their fingerprints on this Urban Meyer hire should be embarrassed. But the person that should be most embarrassed is Urban Meyer, because of his lack of professionalism in this situation and how he treated the people that were involved down there. He should be the one that's embarrassed. He should bear the brunt of it. I know Shad Khan feels a way about it, and he should, because he's the one that's responsible for all of it. He owns the team. But Urban Meyer's lack of respect for the coaching profession at the NFL level, that's the part that should be front and center in all of this. And again, we're talking about Urban Meyer leaving yet another program, leaving yet another place in the wake of scandal.
Yep. When people show you who they are, believe them the first time. It took us way too long, and it took Jacksonville probably way too long. But the end result, Urban Meyer, no longer the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. That is going to be decisions now that that team will face down the stretch of the season as to where they go next. Coming up next here, though, where we go tonight is towards one of the best Thursday night games of the season. Kansas City and the Chargers getting ready to square off with two of the best young quarterbacks in the game. Which offense are we going to side with? We'll tell you next. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
We're in the fourth quarter here on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And Gojo, we got a big-time matchup tonight on Thursday Night Football. I know sometimes these games ain't the best, but that's not the case tonight because you got the 9-5 Kansas City Chiefs taking on the 8-5 Los Angeles Chargers. And this is one of those big-time matchups, man, where you're excited to see it because you know that this is the de facto AFC West championship game when you look at the remaining schedule for both of these teams. And if the Chargers were to somehow, some way, find a way to get to win this game, they would have a one-game lead with three games left against the Kansas City Chiefs. And coming into this season, I don't think anybody thought that the Chargers could contend with the Chiefs for the division. We probably thought that the Chargers would be a playoff team. But, I mean, this is coming down to the wire for both of these squads, and it's not outside of the realm of possibility that Justin Herbert and the Chargers could find a way to take the AFC West pole position from the Kansas City Chiefs tonight.
Yeah, and I mean, Chris, they've really done it in remarkably similar ways, right? Now, Brandon Staley, certainly very green his first year as a head coach in the NFL, going up against Big Red Andy Reid, who's done this for a minute and highly successful in a number of spots. But these are two teams led by two of the most talented young quarterbacks in football. In Patrick Mahomes' case, probably the most talented quarterback. On offenses that want to be hyper-aggressive, both in fourth down and the way they push the ball down the field. On their best days, we know Joe Lombardi and this Chargers offense were criticized for that early in this portion of the season. But, Chris, now it's about the defenses on both sides. You and I both talked about the Chargers on defense early in the year. Couldn't stop the run to save their lives. That was a defense that was small, built for speed to get after the quarterback. And the Chiefs, who have been resurgent in the last 6 weeks on that side of the ball. And that feels like where the advantage would be in this game if Chris Jones were on the field with them.
Yeah, Chris Jones, I mean, they're all-world defensive tackle. He's second in the NFL in pass rush win rate for interior defensive linemen right behind Aaron Donald. So that just gives you an idea of how disruptive he is. But, I mean, when you don't have him in the middle of that defensive line, that's absolutely going to be an absence that's felt. And that's something that Frank Clark and Melvin Ingram are going to have to pick up the slack on. But, yeah, this is going to come down to which defense can create negative plays against the opposing offense, because you're talking about high-flying passing attacks, both offenses ranking in the top six in passing in the National Football League, both offenses in the top five in third down percentage, even though both offenses are in the bottom half of the league when it comes to average distance for third down conversion. So you got to defend these outfits for all three downs, and that's going to be a tall task for any defense. So the goal should be to try to generate as many negative plays on early downs and distances as you possibly can, and that's got to start up front with your defensive line. And right now, I would probably give the edge to the L.A. Chargers defensive line just because they're going to have the best defensive lineman in this matchup with Joey Bosa. The guy is a game wrecker if I ever saw one, not just with the sack creation and the pressure that he puts on the quarterback, but the incompletions that he forces quarterbacks because he's harassing him. He's number one with 28 forced incompletions due to pressure. That's something to keep an eye on in this matchup. The Chiefs offensive line is going to have a plan to block Joey Bosa, and it better involve more than just one offensive lineman.
Yeah, Chris, I'm with you. I'd pick the Chargers in this game, and I know they're getting points here. The Chiefs are road favorites walking into this one.
So outright, you're taking the Chargers without not even considering the points. You don't need the 3 points. You're taking them to win.
Chris, I just need to see the ball go through the basket for the Chiefs against a non-Raiders team in a meaningful way, right? We've talked about it. You look at their wins in this six-game win streak, all right? They beat the Giants, which I'm sorry, I cannot be impressed by.
Low
at this
bar
point
to clear.
They beat the Raiders badly twice, and the Raiders are the only time in this six-game win streak they've scored more than 22 points in a game. The only time came in both outings against the Raiders. Other than that, it was a win against the Green Bay Packers starting Jordan Love at quarterback and the Dallas Cowboys in the middle of a stretch where we know Dak Prescott and that offense have been lesser than coming off of his lower leg injury during the middle of this season here. So again, I look down the schedule, Chris, and I say, I can't find the spot where they've seen an offense that's been running as competently as this one for the Chargers. I know they're shorthanded. They're going to be missing Rashawn Slater, who's on track for one of the better rookie seasons for a tackle that we've seen in quite some time, albeit we saw a similar one from Tristan Wirfs last year. These guys have been freaks in the last couple of years, but I don't know if the Chiefs defense, down its biggest pressure piece, is capable of stopping that group. And on offense on the other side, I don't think they can take advantage of the biggest weakness of that Chargers defense. This Chiefs team still struggles to run the ball.
No doubt about it. And I mean, you brought up the point about the Chiefs offense not really looking explosive except for when they play the Raiders. That's because the Raiders, for whatever reason, didn't get the memo that the rest of the NFL defenses did, which is play two shell coverages against the Kansas City Chiefs and force Pat Mahomes and that offense to be more patient than they want to be. Gojo, if you go back 2 weeks ago when they played the Denver Broncos in a Sunday night primetime game, the Denver Broncos played two shell coverages 60% of the time against the Chiefs offense, and that led to Pat Mahomes going 15 for 29, one touchdown, one pick, and a rating of 57.3. He only had one, count them, one completion beyond 10 yards from the line of scrimmage. The Raiders only played seven snaps of two-shell coverages in the first game against the Chiefs, where they hung 41 points on them. And then the last week, they played four snaps of two-shell coverages, and the Chiefs put 48 on them. So the obvious answer is, when you play this two-shell coverage, which is what the Los Angeles Chargers did when they played against them early on in the regular season, this Kansas City Chiefs offense struggled. And on the flip side of that, I feel like, based on what we've seen from this Chargers offense, knowing that they're top five when it comes to yards after catch from their skill position players, and also knowing that the Kansas City Chiefs defense is bottom three in the National Football League in terms of yards after catch allowed, there to me seems like there's an easy way for Justin Herbert to overcome the loss of Rashawn Slater with the short passing game over the middle of the field in between the numbers, getting the ball out of his hands quick, and not allowing the rush from the Kansas City Chiefs to be able to affect them. So I'm with you. I like the Chargers in this spot, but make no mistake about it. If the Kansas City Chiefs are going to hang on to AFC West supremacy, this is a game that they got to have tonight.
Yep, got to keep pace, certainly in the AFC West, and to keep hope alive that they can try and challenge the Patriots at the top of the AFC overall. That race for the one seed, not over just yet. And a lot of that will be decided tonight. We will get to plenty more on that, looking ahead to that matchup. But coming up next, with all that Deion Sanders has accomplished already at Jackson State, how much longer can we count on him sticking around before a big-time offer comes calling here?
But first, we got a word from Man in the Arena, Gojo. And you know this is my podcast. This is my docuseries. I got to own this because it's so damn good. Join host Gautam Chopra as he explores what Tom Brady has meant to football and the world in Man in the Arena, a new podcast from ESPN Plus and Religion of Sports. A companion piece to Gautam's ESPN Plus docuseries, this 10-part podcast examines the improbable ripple effects of Brady's career, things that have forced us to rethink everything we thought we knew about time, hatred, perfection, even fate. The podcast is brought to you by State Farm, Zip Recruiter, and Rocket Mortgage. Listen and follow Man in the Arena now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and stream the docuseries on ESPN+. You're listening to Canty and Golic Jr. More after this on ESPN Radio.
The College Football Playoff. Alabama-Cincinnati in the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic. Followed by Michigan, Georgia in the Capital One Orange Bowl.
Say my name. All the nights I've dedicated to the king.
Coverage begins December 31st at 2:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN. This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. It's Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We ain't hard to find around these parts. Hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter line at Mike Golic Jr. and at Chris Canty 99. And Gojo, I know you had some news about the COVID protocols, and particularly when it pertains to the Cleveland Browns. that Kimberly Martin just put out there on Twitter. You want to share it with us?
Yeah, so we talked earlier about a very frustrated Baker Mayfield taking to social media to try and flame the NFL, basically calling them inconsistent in the way that they had levied their COVID policies. And now we can see more of why. Kimberly Martin, as you mentioned, tweeted out that the Browns were initially told by the NFL this morning that only players and staffers who self-reported symptoms or were close contacts had to be tested. But while their afternoon practice got underway, the NFL then told them to test all players and staff, regardless of status or symptoms. And Chris, I can only imagine the frustration there if you're a player in that locker room. The thing that any NFL player will tell you, any athlete will tell you, I want consistency and a clear picture. I might not like the rules, but if I'm told what the case is and then we operate by those, I can learn to work with that. This constant moving target has to be immensely frustrating.
Yeah, you can't change the rules midstream. Like if you're saying that it's only players that report symptoms have to account and be tested, then that's one thing. But if you're saying you got to test everybody in the building, that's something altogether different. And when it comes to the losses that the Cleveland Browns are facing ahead of their game this Saturday against the Raiders, I could understand why there's frustration in that building, and I get why Baker Mayfield took to Twitter to express said frustration. But it's just one of those situations right now where the NFL is trying to adjust on the fly to something that is increasingly becoming more of an issue, which is COVID-19, and with the presence of this new variant that's more transmissible, I could understand why the NFL is trying to adjust their policies midstream. So I get why the Browns players would be upset about this, but I also understand what the NFL is trying to do and wrapping their arms around a situation and not having the outbreak be any worse than it already is.
Yeah, the NFL's trying to adjust to a moving target right now, and there's going to be frustration along the way. But again, as positive cases mount, there are no plans by the NFL at this time to postpone or delay any games.
Well, who wants to lose money, right, Mike? The players don't want to lose money. The owners don't want to lose money. That's why they don't want to postpone any games.
Yes, the almighty checks are always going to ruin this. But we can't let that ruin this. It's Thursday on Canty and Golic Jr. We got to give you these spicy takes. It's time to play Book It. All right, guys, Book It. You know the drill. You add Book It to any of your hot take. It's a hot take multiplier. It allows you to feel like Stephen A. Smith, if only for a moment.
You can book it.
Put it in the book.
You know what time it is. It's Book It time, damn it. All right, and Book It is brought to you by Napa. At Napa, when it comes to serving you, their motor never quits. From next-day delivery and curbside pickup to getting involved in local communities, that's Napa know-how. It is Book It. We're going to give you a spicy take. If you like it, you shout Book It after. You feel good, spicy, like Stephen A. Smith on First Take. And if you don't, we won't. We move on here. Steve, you ready to read us these takes?
Absolutely. First question, Mike. Will Urban Meyer land another coaching job?
I'm going to book this one.
You can book it.
Only because I do not trust college football to operate by reason, morality, or any sort of logic here, Chris.
Urban Meyer, the football version of Rick Pitino, who knew? I'm not going to book this one, man. I can't book
it. That's not good enough.
No, it's not good enough. Urban Meyer's job as the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, it's failing the profession, and I couldn't see a parent entrusting their child to Urban Meyer at the collegiate ranks, and I could not see an NFL franchise entrusting their program to Urban Meyer. So I think he's done as a coach at a high level. I think he's probably going back to the booth. That's the only time we're ever going to see Urban Meyer again around football.
I should say this. That is if Urban wants to still coach here. That TV job will no doubt be waiting for him, Steve.
Yeah.
The NFL will end up moving a game before the season's over. You going to book this, Chris?
No, I'm not booking this. The NFL's not moving any more games, man. I'm not. And I floated it as a possibility earlier this week, and I'm backtracking on it. And you know, guys, how I feel about take integrity. But I don't think they will. I think these games are going to go off as scheduled. They're not moving regular season games to the middle of the week like they did last year. And they're not going to move any playoff games. So, no, I'm not going to book this.
Yeah, they changed the rules on the fly this week relative to COVID policy instead of moving games, where multiple teams have near two dozen, in some cases, the Washington football team, 21 players. I believe the Cleveland Browns, near 20, including down two quarterbacks. No, I cannot book this one.
Damn that.
Mahomes and Herbert is the next great NFL QB rivalry. Are you going to book this, Mike?
I am going to book this.
Ding, ding, ding.
Mostly because I can count on two things, I believe, at this point. One is both of these guys being really good for a long time here. Justin Herbert's done the difficult task of coming in for the sophomore showing and balling out so far through the course of this NFL season. Pat Mahomes is signed to the big money deal. But Chris, above all else, I know that we're going to see these guys play at least twice a year for the duration because they both look like the franchise's future. In Pat Mahomes' case already, in Justin Herbert's case, certainly coming up.
Yeah, you can book this. Co-sign, retweet on everything that Gojo said. The fact that they're going to play against each other twice a year for the next decade plus, like that's what's going to make it really, really interesting. And you got to think that there probably could have the potential to be a third matchup during the course of a season in the playoffs between these two because we expect both of these clubs to do high-level winning. So you can go ahead and book it. This matchup is going to have major playoff implications, major championship implications in the future.
Kenny Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio playing Book It. Steve, what do we got?
Steph Curry is a top 10 player of all time. You going to book it, Chris?
Yeah, I'm going to book it, man. I made my list top 10 yesterday, and it came down to, in the 10th spot, Shaquille O'Neal, Bill Russell, and Steph Curry, and I gave Steph the nod, and that was a tough thing for me to do, but when you start talking about his contributions to the game, being the greatest shooter the game has ever seen, but then also revolutionizing the game the way that he has, knowing what we now consider a good shot as opposed to what was a good shot 15 years ago, yeah, I got to book this. Steph Curry is a top 10 player all time.
Yeah, Chris, I think I can book this as well. Because you mentioned it's the title of best shooter of all time, which could be reductive in the way we talk about him if this wasn't the best shooter of all time who's been the driver behind a modern dynasty in the Golden State Warriors, who's been the best player on a team that's gone and won at the level that this team has, and who now is in the process of being able to reinvent that said same team. Like, his legacy is not set in stone at this point. I doubted that last year. I have apologized to Steph Curry publicly on this show, and I will make sure that I never make that mistake again with him.
Deion Sanders will be a Power 5 head coach in the next 2 years. Mike, you going to book it?
I'll book this one.
You can book it.
We heard Deion Sanders, the Jackson State head coach, pulled off one of the biggest recruiting flips for an HBCU, the biggest one we've ever seen in college football. And I just think, Chris, looking at the situation now, he was on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this morning. They asked him about that, and he said, listen, you guys aren't stupid. You know this has happened. He has gotten calls from big-time schools and offers here. He claims that it's going to have to be right in all the ways that you hear coaches talk about, aligning with what he can do for the young men, aligning with his values as a university. But I think with the success he's had, 11-1 this year, his son passing for over 3,000 yards at quarterback, what is likely going to be guys getting NFL looks coming out of Jackson State, I think this is going to be too hard for Power 5 teams to not throw bags full of cash at him here in the next couple of years.
Yeah, Gojo, I'm going to book this one too.
You can book it.
And I really don't want to because I would love to see Deion Sanders become the modern-day version of Eddie Robinson in the SWAC, just being able to have overwhelming success and pump out players from that school to the NFL. But it's just the money at the big-time college programs is so big right now. I get that NIL and sponsorships can kind of make up the difference with some of it. But, I mean, you've got situations where you've got the premier coaches in the SEC and in the Big Ten making $10, $12, $15 million in some cases. I just don't see Deion turning down that amount of money because ultimately there's a respect attached to the dollar figure that you're paying somebody to do the job. So I think he does land at a Power 5 school in the next 2 years, but Jackson State is going to be all the better for Deion and what he's done down there with that program.
And I think the attention paid to HBCU football, in part because of the spotlight he's showing on him, is already being felt. We mentioned Hugh Jackson going to take over as the head coach at Grambling State. He's joining us tomorrow on the show here on Canty and Golic Jr. So that effect already being seen in tangible ways that hopefully continue beyond Prime's tenure at Jackson State. At Chris Candy 99, at Mike Golic Jr. is where you can hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter line. Coming up next, though, revenge of the establishment when a Yelp review goes wrong and one establishment decides to bite back. Next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Quarter here on Candy and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. It's Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appeared via the Goodyear Hotline. Got to give a shout out to all the guests that came through on the show today. Rick Stroud from the Tampa Bay Times. He was breaking the news with the Times on Urban Meyer and the Josh Lambeau story yesterday. Ultimately, that led to Urban getting clipped this morning. Of course, we had Stanford Steve, co-host of the Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast, trying to get your pockets right for Thursday Night Football. We had NBA player, former NBA player, three-time NBA All-Star Darren Williams come on ahead of his fight with Frank Gore, and then ESPN NFL analyst Lewis Riddick with some strong opinions on Urban Meyer and Baker Mayfield. If you missed any of it, go to the Canty and Golic Jr. podcast, download, rate, and subscribe. We greatly appreciate it. But Gojo, we have now reached the portion of our show where we got to go three and out.
Sometimes it's the worst. Sometimes it's the best. Either way, we'll get you straight with everything you need to know. This is Three and Out.
Three and Out here on Canty and Golic Jr., and boy, do we have a doozy today. Let's get it started with a little family business here. A downtown Kansas City bar called out Patrick Mahomes' younger brother and TikTok sensation Jackson Mahomes after an incident. Apparently, the younger Mahomes tried to bring a large crowd of people to a downtown bar called SOT in Kansas City. When he apparently did not receive service that was up to par for him, he was critical of the bar on social media after a now-deleted social media rant against the bar. They responded with a post of their own saying in part, quote, Jackson Mahomes, we are sorry that we set boundaries you tried to ignore. Oftentimes people with unearned status and a sense of entitlement think they're above the rules and will lash out at the employee enforcing them. We're sorry we could not seat your very large group. As you probably saw, our bar is very small. We're sorry that you have the reach you do, or at least think you do, and that instead of using it for something positive, you decided to try and crush a small business. We survived a global pandemic. We'll survive your ego. Chris, they let the chopper sing on this one in a way that I did not know small business was capable of.
Yeah, Jackson Mahomes was SOL at SOT. That's just what it comes down to. And they brought out the street sweeper, too. They had receipts, and they said, yeah, you think you have pull, you think you have reach, but guess what? You're not your brother. You're not Pat Mahomes. And so, Leah, you can't just take advantage of us. We're not going to sit down here and let you badmouth small business. It's not going down like that. And if you're Jackson Mahomes, this is one of those times where you got to check yourself and you got to think about it and say, hey, maybe I overstepped on this one. I just don't understand, though, Gojo. Where was the win going to come from him? Like, it just doesn't make sense to go after a small business in a town where your brother's a superstar quarterback. Like, it's got to make it real uncomfortable for Pat Mahomes with Jackson Mahomes out here moving like this.
Yeah, bold strategy, Cotton. Don't think it's going to pay off very well for you here. As I don't think this will pay off very well for the University of Florida, how about this? The Florida Gators are actually offering an opportunity for you to pay them in order to come and help set up the locker room before the game at $350 a pop. Chris, they are offering you the opportunity to come be a locker room grunt for the Florida Gators basketball team here. I know there's a lot of people willing to spend on weird opportunities in college sports. You know what I was going to say? I can't imagine. I can absolutely imagine someone paying for this. I don't know who I'm kidding.
Let me tell you what I'm not going to do, though, Gojo. Like, pay good, hard-earned money to be a glorified janitor for my favorite team. Like, I would never think about doing that. Like, I'm a huge Lakers fan. I would never pay good money to go in there and clean up after LeBron James and Anthony Davis. I'm just not going to do it. So I don't understand why this is going to get the traction that I guess the Florida Athletic Department thinks it is. It just kind of doesn't make sense in my mind. But I guess you got some diehard fans that just really want that experience and they want to go all the way behind the curtain. And if it means that they got to pick up some dirty towels and some dirty jerseys, they'd be willing to do it.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. All right, we got to clear out space on this one because with all the COVID news around the NFL, rosters are depleted and down to players we've never heard of before. And I saw this quote earlier today. Someone covering the Washington football team said, Washington is down to its fifth string starting center, John Toth, who doubles as a plus-size model.
Say what?
Thankfully, John Keim, our ESPN Washington football team reporter, had already done this digging back in August. John Toth is a 6'5", 310-pound offensive lineman slash male model. or in this case, called a brawn model here. This was a player that heading into August had hopes and dreams of trying to make it to the NFL, but had not received calls up until that point since January of 2021. So he had still been working out 6 days a week, Chris, to stay in shape for modeling here, and the photos are every bit as impressive as you would believe.
Yeah, the one with him sitting down in Central Park with the camo pants on, making a snowball and staring into the camera, like that one is just the one that takes the cake. Like if I was in the locker room for the Washington football team, this dude would not hear the end of him trying to be a big plus model. Like I would be after this dude every single day. And then to take it a step further, if I'm lining up against him in a game, there ain't no way that I'm letting a plus-size model go out there and block me in an NFL game. He ain't going to run block me. He ain't going to pass block me. There's just no way I could let it happen, Gojo, as a point of personal pride. It ain't going down like that.
He's done modeling gigs for Calvin Klein and appears in Land's End catalog, and now he may appear on a field near you this upcoming NFL weekend.
Get your offensive lineman, Gojo. Get him, man.
Love it.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.